Just building upon the previous presentations, the seven wonders of chanting, appreciating the mercy that's coming to us in one of Krishna's most merciful forms, His holy name, and then the other preparing to receive that. So the goal or a goal is to improve the quality of our chanting. So that's the headline here. Quality. Chanting. I was thinking to start by reading a morning walk where the devotees were asking Prabhupada about quality chanting. And it's very interesting the way that it unfolds. So I'll just start at the beginning. It's in Nairobi. One devotee is asking Prabhupada during the morning walk, when chanting our 16 rounds, we are not sure if these rounds are sincere. Prabhupada, you should be sure. Devotee, how can we be sure? Prabhupada, there are beads. Brahmananda, no, he's saying, when we chant our rounds, how can we be sure that when we chant the round, that the round is perfect, attentive round, sincere? Prabhupada, therefore, it is Shastra. You must. There is no question of understanding. And then Brahmananda tries again. The quality of the chanting, he's asking. How can we make the quality the best? And then Prabhupada launches and says, quality. You'll understand. It sounds like Prabhupada didn't understand the question, but you see from the answer, he understood the question. Quality, you understand, first of all, come to the quality. Without having quality, how he'll understand the quality? You follow the instructions of your spiritual master. That's, you must. Of the Shastra. That is your duty. Quality, no quality. It is not your position to understand. When the quality comes, there's no force. You will have a taste for chanting. You will desire at that time. Why 16 rounds? Why not 16,000 rounds? That is quality. That is quality. It is by force. You'll not do it. Therefore, at least 16 rounds. But when you come to the quality, you will feel, why 16? Why not 16,000? That is quality. Automatically, just like Haridas Thakur was doing. He was not forced to do. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he requested, now you're old enough, you can reduce. So he refused. No. Up to the end of my life, I shall go on. That is quality. Have you got such tendency that you will go on chanting and nothing to do? That is quality. Now, you are forced to do. Where is the question of quality? That is given a chance so that one day you may come to the quality. Not that you have come to the quality. Quality is different. Ata shakti. Asakti. Attachment. Just like Rupa Goswami said, how shall I chant with one tongue? How shall I hear two ears? Had it been millions of tongues and trillions of ears, then I could enjoy it. That this is quality. Quality is not so cheap. Maybe after many births. For the time being, you go on following the rules and regulations. It is being done by force. Where is the quality? So you wanted to understand quality? This is quality. You'll not be forced, but automatically you'll desire. That is quality. I'm writing books. I'm not being forced by anyone. Everyone can do that. Why does not one do that? I get up at night, 1 o'clock, and do this job because I cannot do without it. How one will do it artificially? This is quality. Therefore, they like my purports. That quality is shown by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. Oh, I do not see Govinda. The whole world is vacant. Shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. This is quality. Just like we have got practical example. One man's beloved has died. And he is seeing the whole universe as vacant. Is it vacant? So that is the quality of love. So there is no formula of quality. It is to be understood by himself. Just like after eating something you feel refreshed and get strength. That is quality. You haven't got to take certificate. Will you give me a certificate that I have eaten? You'll understand whether eaten or not. That is quality. When you will feel so much ecstasy in chanting Hare Krishna, that is quality, not artificially. Chant, chant, otherwise get out. This is not quality. Not artificially. Oops. This is in expectation that someday you may come to quality. That requires time. That requires sincerity. But quality is there. Shravanada, Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaye. It will awaken, not by force. Just like love between two persons. It cannot be forced. You must love him. You must love her. Oh, that is not love. That is not love. When automatically you love one another, that is quality. Dora Vede Prema. And therefore, formally, at least in the Indian society, at an early age, they were married. There is no quality in that quality. But gradually, remaining together, the quality of love increases. Then the wife takes care of the husband, and the husband takes care. They become bound up, united in love. That is quality. In the beginning, what the child knows about love, but they are allowed to remain as husband and wife. They are thinking that I have got my husband, I have got my wife. And as age increases, the dealings become intimate, then they become affectionate. That is quality. Not in the beginning. There is any quality. It is by the parents' arrangement, that's all. In our day, the marriage was performed when girl is 10 years, 12 years, 9 years. 12 years is very late marriage. My second sister, she became 12 years old. So my mother became so disturbed that this girl is not married. Shall I commit suicide? Yes, you see, my eldest sister, she was 9 years old, older than me. And she was married before my birth. And my mother-in-law was married at the age of 7 years. And my father-in-law was 11 years. I was married. My wife was 11 years. So in this age, there's no question of love. It is not that the husband and wife live together. No, unless the girl grows up, she is not going to the husband. She remains with the father and mother. Sometimes they meet, and the wife is taught giving some sweetmeat to the husband, official. Official. The parents of the girl. Just go to your husband and offer this. So she comes as obedient servant, but gradually they get the connection. In this way, the love develops, and when they are 15, 16 years old, they are allowed to live together because both of them have already developed that she is my wife, he is my husband psychology. chanting with quality. I'm going to shrink down what I was going to express, but I'll try to get the essence across. To move towards quality chanting, we have to move away from the way that we process making sound and hearing sound from the material side to the spiritual side. And one of the ways to do that, I'd like to speak sometime about spiritual sound. I had this experience recently where a devotee, older devotee, their next door neighbor, had their mother come to their home with some terminal disease, cancer, super severe cancer condition. They didn't even do chemotherapy, it was hopeless, something like that. And so this devotee didn't know how to address their neighbor, because the neighbor wasn't a Krishna devotee. How do I address the situation? So I spoke about sacred sound. Whatever because your neighbor is pious, I don't know what their religion is, maybe you don't know what their religion is, but commonly within religions there's something connected with sacred sound. So be supportive by asking them, what is it in your tradition that's a sacred sound, and you can help your soon-to-depart family member by being present with them and vibrating this sacred sound. You're helping the soul. You can't relieve the bodily pain and the imminent departure of the soul, but you can benefit the soul. And that way you're doing some service to that relative. So they took that advice. They found out, yes, they do have some sacred sound. It's different than ours. And it gave some peace to the family member that wasn't departing, and some spiritual benefit to the one that did. And it was a matter of 2.5 days and they were gone. So what is it about sacred sounds, or in our Sanskrit terminology, shabda, Brahman? Because we're worshippers of Krishna, so ours is the Krishna mantra, or Hare Krishna mantra, or names of God. So what is it about this shabda Brahman, or spiritual sound, sacred sound, that's different? We'll start some of the things that it's what's shared in common with material sound, spiritual sound, is we use our ear and we use our tongue. But it's not just making a sound with your tongue and hearing it with your ear, because it's more than that. Just like, here's a microphone, and I'm speaking right into the microphone. So is the microphone hearing? It's something is happening, and it's going through the wire into the amplifier and out the speaker, and so something is happening. But for us to go from mechanical to quality, something more than just a sound vibration from tongue to ear, that's required, but something more than that. Or with I've learned this in the course of my vast education, that language is just a symbol, like, say, microphone. It's a word, and the word is a symbol of something, or chair. The sound, chair, is different than the object, chair. But words are symbols of something. So that's on the material side. But shabda The sound and the object are the same. Abhinatvam nama namino. The sound and the object named by that sound, they're non-different. There's something else going on with Shabda Brahman that's not going on with ordinary sound. And it's not dependent upon one's faith. In other words, that family where whatever the sacred sound was, certainly there's some faith element connected, but it's not dependent upon faith. Greater benefit can come when there's faith, and greater benefit can come when there's an actual understanding of Krishna. But like Prabhupada is saying, there's no question of understanding in the beginning. So there's something very, very special about Shabda. And if we can, trying to help some appreciation of what that is, with some appreciation of what that is, the quality can increase. So, Shabda, Brahman, is the entire spiritual reality transmitted from the spiritual realm into this place, the material atmosphere. Qualitatively, it's of the spiritual realm. Qualitatively different than this realm. The entire spiritual reality is presented. And how is it that we're supposed to receive it or understand it? I'm going to read a little section from Adi Lila, chapter 5. And it has to do with, it's amplifying the fact that in spirit, in Shabda, there are spiritual potencies. Now you can think of the second verse of Shikshastakam, Nijasarva Shaktis. There are unlimited spiritual potencies in each and every one of the names of Krishna. Now how do you measure that? Remember Vishnu John Swami once asked Prabhupada, Krishna consciousness is a science. And with a science, things are measurable. So how do you measure the holy name? And Prabhupada said, with the tongue. By vibrating Hare Krishna, then the holy name is present. And that holy name touches the heart. I'm going to read a verse by Rupa Goswami that Prabhupada is referring to here. I'll read it now. It's a nice, very, very, very nice verse. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes in the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert, because the mind is the chief of the senses. That's quality chanting. We're not experiencing like that. But within this Shabda, the whole of the spiritual reality is there. And from Prabhupada's purport, he's going to explain, from the Shruti mantras, it's simply to be accepted, as Premathrangini was saying about receiving, making the heart receptive. That's what you have to do to go to quality chanting. Here's the quote. Non-devotees cannot understand the Lord's inconceivable energy. And consequently for them, it is said that he is beyond the range of conceivable expression. The author of the Brahma Sutras, Vyasadeva, accepts this fact and says, Shrutistu Shabdha Mulatvat. That is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being inconceivable to an ordinary man, can be understood only through the evidence of the Vedic injunctions. The Skanda Purana confirms, Achintya kalau ye bhava natangs tarkina yojayet. Matters inconceivable to a common man should not be subject for argument. You can't enter it into your processors. Like, you know, modern education has you. You take some information, put it into your processor, process it, and come out with some intelligent and intelligible explanation of what that was. It's like an IQ test. Anyway, without going into what IQ tests are about, that's what it's about. There's details of what are points of similarity, and then you point out there's some points of similarity, and that's, you can discriminate, because intelligence discriminates this from that. What makes this like this and this different than that? That's what IQ tests do. How strong is your intellect? But it's not an intellectual event, receiving of Shabda Brahman. It's just accepting. And then you can understand. Because it's revealed, like these translations of Shikshastakam 1 were explaining. It's knowledge that's already there. It's just illumined or awakened by clearing away the speculative tendency and just receiving. We find very wonderful qualities in even such material things as jewels and drugs. Indeed, their qualities often appear inconceivable. Therefore, if we do not attribute inconceivable potencies to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we cannot establish His supremacy. It is because of these inconceivable potencies that the glories of the Lord have always been accepted as difficult to understand. Difficult to understand by the ascending process, understandable by the descending process only. And that's how quality chanting is to be done, in a receptive mood, just as we were hearing before. And there's something in that receptive mood, something on the intent of the receiver as well as the intent of the broadcaster. Because spiritual sound comes from the spiritual world. The broadcaster is the Personality of Godhead, and the representatives of the Personality of Godhead of the spiritual world. And we're in the receiving position. So there has to be something from our side that has an intent beyond information gathering and intellectually discerning this from that. It's something more than that. The intention is relationship with Krishna, eagerness for that forgotten relationship that we have. So many times I've heard Prabhupada describe that the relationship between father and son. From the father's side, he never forgets. The son may go away. He grows up. He goes away from home. He has his own life. The father never stops thinking of the son. The son may stop thinking of the father. But that relationship is there. And when that point in time comes, the son comes back home, however many years later it may be, the father is ready to be in the relationship of father and accept his son as his son. Similarly, our relationship with Krishna is eternal. It's already there. But we went away. We forgot. So eagerness to, even the beginning stage of eagerness to restore that relationship. Again, intent in hearing. That's the receiving mood. This speaking, use the Sanskrit term sankalpa. When we chant, what is it that we wish from chanting? Recognize what It is. It is Krishna. Krishna's entering again into our, on our tongue, into our ear, into our heart, to mercifully restore that relationship which we have forgotten. So that's the intent from the, on the receiving side, or at least one component of the intent. And then the person who's chanting. From the person who's chanting, it's having received, then you can chant. Having received that sound vibration, then you can vibrate the sound. I'll express it this way. From Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. A little short statement. Chanting is not merely making some sound. You can get a machine that makes the sound. Or you can train a parrot to make the sound. Radhe. Haribol. Or some sounds like that. Rather, Bhaktisiddhanta says, when the soul calls out for the mercy of the personality of Godhead, calls for the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Oh, Lord Nityananda, you are the most merciful representative of the most merciful incarnation of the Lord, simply desiring to give the pure holy name. Please, I'm unqualified as anyone can be unqualified, but please be merciful to the unqualified and give me the pure holy name. Eagerness. And with that eagerness, when that pure holy name touches the heart, with the very same lips and the very same tongue, when one calls the holy name, that's chanting. Receiving and then transmitting. Your receiver has to be on before you can transmit the sound. Now there's a whole section that I don't have time for that I'll just summarize really succinctly. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his writing some time ago, I covered Bhaktioloka, discussed that here in Seattle. So of the six items for enhancing spiritual advancement, the first one is utsahan, enthusiasm. It's a very nice section. In short, Bhaktisiddhanta is saying, without enthusiasm, there's no question of spiritual progress. And enthusiasm for spiritual progress is not passion, it's of the soul. He makes this explanation that you cannot sustain enthusiasm without a spiritual conception. You can be enthusiastic of another kind that's fruitive, but it's not sustainable. Real enthusiasm requires a spiritual conception. So the spiritual conception is the springboard for real enthusiasm. And without enthusiasm, there's not spiritual progress. So, Krishna, Krishna. I think I'm going to have to cover that part after lunch. So besides the mechanical part, if we're going beyond mechanical chanting and hearing, it's beyond the tongue and the ear. It's bringing our consciousness, express it this way, let our consciousness touch the holy name, receive the holy name, transmit the holy name. So not just bringing the tongue to make the sound and the ear to hear the sound, but with it, the intention or eagerness or prayer, let me, the soul, come in contact with Krishna, the holy name. And chant with that intent, striving like that. So that's going to accelerate purification on the platform of Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam, the awakening of the desire to connect with Krishna through service, because chanting and hearing, those are the two first forms of devotional service. It's a service. It's not a something that we do before we start our service. It's a foundation for any other service that we also do. Let's say it the other way around. If we do our chanting and hearing very nicely, then our other service will be Krishna conscious service. We'll be thinking of Krishna while doing our other service. If you do your chanting and hearing nicely. We'll say it the other way around. If you don't, then you'll see secularism. There's what I do for Krishna, and then there's all this other thing that I do in my life. My work, or my occupational activity, whatever that may be. And then the question is, how do I make a balance? And the answer is, it's the wrong question. It's from the proper hearing and chanting, the other activities also become service. And then you do according to your capacity. You try to increase your hearing and chanting, at least in the qualitative side. Now we heard Prabhupada say, well, there's no question of quality. It's must. We do because we must. But the must is to bring us to the state of some purification. Cheto, darpana, marjanam, and continue with that meditation. Let me chant because it will purify my existence. That's according to the Bhagavatam, that's devotional service in the mode of goodness. I do this because I worship the deity because, or I cook the offering for the deity because, or I do my household duties because, or I do my chanting because in Krishna consciousness it will purify me. But transcendental, we have to enter into the quality of goodness to go to transcendence. But how do we get to transcendence? We contact Shabda Brahman. Meaning, it's the means of purification, and it's what one does when there's purification. Or another way of saying the same thing. Once Prabhupada was asked, what's the goal of chanting? And his answer was, more chanting. We chant as the means to achieve what? A purified condition where we just want to chant. Or we want to contact Shabda Brahman. We want to contact Krishna in his merciful feature or form. About a year ago, I was visiting in a place that was in a desert area. Something nice about being a sannyasi, you see all kinds of different things. So someone was pointing out, see that cactus over there? I was noticing that one cactus was really big and the other cactuses were these little guys. And then they started explaining that because the root system of the cactus is such that there's very little water, and so it grows in a place where there's very little water, and the root system can't bring in much water. So it only grows a half an inch every year. Sometime maybe you'll happen to have to go to New York, and if you go to New York, you might visit Radha Govinda Temple in New York. Right next door to the Radha Govinda Temple, there used to be a building, and a Chinese man bought those buildings and knocked it down and was planning to build a 12-story, 5-star hotel, because just down the street the New Jersey Nets are going to move in down in downtown Brooklyn. It's going to be crazy traffic. So, he made a violation of how he did his, you know, he cut the Verizon line and when they were digging, you know, to get the thing cleared out, the foundation of that other building. So he had to shut down operation. This is just to tell you about a tree. Two trees are growing next door, and they're growing like a weed. It's as tall as our four-story building now, and it's just a year and a half. It's not a cactus where it grows a half an inch a year. It's growing not just like a weed that's a tree weed. I don't know what the name of it is. It's got these huge leaves, as big as a baby, and, you know, and really tall, growing so fast. So all of this is to speak about, in contrast, receptivity. Receptivity is going to determine the rate of growth. The cactus is only going to grow a half an inch a year. Like trees, you know, as we were driving here, we passed one of those trucks that's carrying trees, and the tree was huge, huge. At least, you know, one of the trees. So you can count how many years old the tree is by how many rings around. I don't know exactly the science of it, but each year it goes out and out and out, as well as up and up and up. So it depends on, you can say, the root system, but it depends on the receptivity. Little, medium, and huge. Similarly, our spiritual progress is our receptivity, our eagerness. Through shabda, through spiritual sound, to connect with Krishna. The eagerness that we have to connect with Krishna, it's the same rainfall that makes the, you know, the weed grow and makes the tree grow and makes the, you know, the big one grow. It's the receptivity. It's the same sound vibration for each of us. And the rate of spiritual progress, or the a spiritual attainment that we are going to receive in our life, has a lot to do with the eagerness, the receptivity for connecting with the spiritual world, because that's what shabda is, as I explained. It's the whole spiritual world being presented here in this physical plane. So the essence of our chanting is bringing consciousness, that means the soul, in contact with Krishna. Not just the ear and the tongue. Those are necessary. But consciousness, quality, is approached by the degree to which our consciousness is cleansed, jeta darpana marjanam, and we continue that chanting consistently in a regulated fashion, in a sincere fashion, and gradually through that cleansing, consciousness comes in contact with, most directly, not just indirectly through the dust accumulated for years together, but directly consciousness contacting Krishna on the platform of conscious awareness. So when we're chanting our 64 rounds tomorrow, or whatever someone ends up chanting, meditate like that. The sound is there. We're not only hearing our own sound, we'll be hearing other persons chanting. And it's very nice. It's very strengthening in the company of others to chant together. The whole place is spiritual sound vibration. Make an effort, quality-wise, to bring your consciousness to touch the holy name. And eager to have the holy name touch the soul. To deliver the soul from its bound condition. And then the chanting becomes real chanting. I'm past our cutoff time already. In the first picture that I showed with the Cheto Darpan Marjanam, it's a very, very nice painting and a very nice leela, and it's something, an inspiration also. Chanting is cleansing, like the Gundicha Marjana. The whole lila is the lila indicating, by the mercy of Bhaktisiddhanta's purport, it explains, it's making the heart ready. Gundicha is making the temple ready for Lord Jagannath to come. Making, similarly, the heart inviting for Krishna to come. Now, Krishna is already there. There's no question of Krishna coming. Just like the holy name, is Krishna is already there in his fullness. But our consciousness is dull, and so we don't recognize Krishna in the heart. We don't recognize Krishna as being none different than his holy name. We're covered. We're dull. So that which awakens from the dull to the awake state is this eagerness, this receiving, this intention of a little bit to our capacity. A little bit. Bringing our consciousness directly in contact with Krishna. Making the heart pure so that it's inviting for Krishna to come. For those in the mode of goodness, it's nice to be in a place that's clean. I travel a lot, and I can tell you, it's nice to be in a place that's clean. And I've been to some places, like student places and things like that, where it's not clean. And feel so comfortable. It's not just because, oh, they didn't make it nice. It's just someone who is accustomed to or is cultivating the quality of goodness, you feel good when you're in a place that's clean. Say the same thing in a different way. Prabhupada described that a brahmana is one who, when they enter a place, the first thing they do is make it clean. And as they're engaging in their activity, they keep it clean, and before they leave it cleaner than when they entered. And that's a brahmana. They like. And the other they don't like. They like. And it's indicative of consciousness. When consciousness is pure, one likes things pure. So without interference and adulteration, and we'll speak a little bit about this in the afternoon also, because of the time constraint. But the holy name is so benedictory that in itself it's purna shuddho. And if completely pure. And if I would like to become pure, then let me associate with the supremely pure and I'll become pure. But it's not that I make Krishna my janitor to clean my dirty heart. From my position, the potency is there, the purifying potency is there, that for this unqualified soul, this conditioned, covered personality, I require mercy. And Krishna's holy name is merciful. So it's something a little bit like what Prema Trangini was saying about a prayer where you're requesting something. By the way, Narottam Das Thakur classifies prayers in different ways. And one of them, I forget the Sanskrit term, but one of them is very common, a prayer request. It's not a no-no for a devotee to make a request to an exalted devotee. Please give your mercy so that I can become qualified. One drop of your mercy. I can become qualified to be in your association and to become qualified to serve Krishna. So the holy name also, these shikshastakam verses, these initial ones, are simply glorification, appreciation, praise of the holy name. And later there's some prayers. Please engage me in your service. So, with eagerness, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's point, with utsahan, with great eagerness, let me come to that position where I can Be in the association of spiritual sound, sacred sound, the holy name. And become cleansed and thus qualified to be in my relationship with Krishna. I'm not qualified now. May I become qualified. May I become, my, at least have the desire to have the desire. So the association of the devotees of the Lord, the acharyas in our disciplic line, and Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, to come to that position, that will assist us with receiving this wonderful quality of Shabda, spiritual sound vibration, and great happiness follows. Time just keeps moving. Prasadam is ready. Could you find out if prasadam is ready? Because if so, we'll break. Any, been a lot of information and sharing so far. Any comments or questions you want to bring up? Okay. Go ahead. One question, then we'll break for prasadam.
So just like you mentioned the example of that cactus that has the security, the cactus plant and the weak tree.
I see your hands, but I can't hear your voice.
Try to speak up.
Example of?
Cactus.
Cactus. Okay. That's not a cactus. Okay. Hold the microphone closer. Even though we are?
The Chandi is seemingly happening at a very wonderful rate or in a very wonderful, loving manner. And at other times, it sometimes seems to be difficult to maintain that level.
Yeah.
So, there seems to be like fluctuations.
Yeah.
So, how does...
It's like the weather in Seattle.
So, how does one...
Steadiness. That's this afternoon's class. I'm sure you'll be in the front row. Here's this afternoon. That's the title, steadiness. On that note, we'll break for lunch. Are we ready to break for lunch? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
So, yes, Prabhupada Swami Maharaj ki jai.